I Should Be Writing number 506, recorded live on twitch.tv.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. Watching
Doctor. But hi, and I am Mer Lafferty. This is I Should Be Writing, trying to stream live. So this would be I Should Be Writing 506, I believe. If any Patreon supporters know offhand, they should be able to tell me. Hi, Fire Rider. Hi, Rowan. And Whirling Nerdish, hey. So why am I doing this? I've been learning about various, life hacks lately and how to trick myself, sort of. Oh, 506 is correct. Thank you. And the first thing I discovered was, I've talked about this a little bit before, but when I do, oh boy, this is not working. I gotta fix my audio. Man, you think you have everything right, and then sometimes I just wish we could do over. I really do. But that's the problem with live. So the thing is, I learned that taking my ADD meds and then, say, having a cup of coffee and picking up my Switch meant I focused really, really well on my Switch. So I decided that I was going to have to lock it away. So I've talked about that, how it feels kind of childish, but it works, and that's the important thing. Then I discovered that my plan was to do daily I Should Be Writing episodes in audio, and then after that do one live stream on Mondays. And what was happening was because I had to schedule the live stream on Crowdcast, and I knew that people were getting information on the fact that it was happening, was only doing the one that I was committed to doing, and then I would let the other one slide. So I thought, maybe if I start streaming on Twitch, then people can watch and ask questions, it can be live and exciting and stuff, but also I'll have to stick to the schedule, and I can just take this this audio and edit it and put it in the stream for later. So we still get your audio I Should Be Writing, but you also get something new, video, Twitch, thingy. That is why I'm doing this. That is the plan. Spent several hours trying to figure out Twitch, and I'm still doing stuff wrong. So that's frustrating, but I really appreciate everybody who's kind of supporting me on this, because it's just... I've been yelling that I've been on the net since 96, and suddenly I feel very old and very can't program my VCR kind of thing. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I think next time I'll be more prepared and have a better sound set up. I had to reschedule my violin lesson, and that was at 11:30, and it went long, so I did not have nearly enough time to prepare. So, but I should be writing. That's what we're here to do. Work continues on my book pretty well. I'm still having a little bit of issue with some of the characterization, but the plot is coming along, and I can fix some... dialogue tweaks pretty quickly, I think. So it is shaping up to be the longest book I've ever written, which is a little daunting, but I'm kind of excited. It's nice to be excited about it for once, because I've been working on this for a couple of years now and haven't felt excited. But I do want to talk about the fact that Worldcon is coming up. It starts next week. I think I've got a schedule. They tell me I've got a schedule, but when I log into their little virtual hub, I have no schedule. But in theory, I have a Star Wars panel, a podcasting panel, and then a coffee klatch. And then there's the Hugo Awards on either the first or the second. I can't remember based on the international dateline problem. I'm not doing anything at the Hugos. I'm just watching people win and not myself. But... the whole virtual con is still, it's still taking me some time to get my brain around it, because I don't know. There's an energy to conventions, and I did not realize how much I've learned to hold on to that energy. If you know you're at a con, you're in a hotel room, and you know your meals are going to be taken with people or friends, or everything is different. Your entire schedule is different, and that reminds you that you are a pro or an amateur, but still you're there on a professional level, and there are certain things that take your priorities that do not take priority at home. And when you're at home, you have to think, most of my regular life is going to stay the same, but I have to make absolutely sure that I'm ready for this panel at 12:30. And then you got to get in that whole exciting panel state. So it's hard to grab. And I know it's absolutely necessary because of the pandemic. And I know it's really great that, well, I'm sorry that it took a pandemic instead of accessibility advocates to, or disability advocates, to make this happen. But the things they're putting into place means that moving forward, I certainly hope that they will broaden their outreach, hit more attendees, more virtual attendees, and allow for people with accessibility issues to enjoy the con as well, because they've been asking for this kind of thing for a while. And again, I sympathize greatly with the fact that it took a pandemic and not your own saying, hello, we have needs too, that got it done. But hopefully it's there now. I don't know if anybody's planning on going attending Worldcon. It is still expensive because, you know, they're having to spend a lot of money on everything on all the tech. So they're having to spend a lot of money. You have to be like the professional level of Zoom to handle the kind of things they're going to be handling. So they're still dealing with a lot of costs. And they might have to be paying for all the convention areas that they were planning on giving us. So, and you have to pay for the right to be part of the World Science Fiction Society, which not a lot of people know that's what you get when you go to Worldcon. You have the right to vote on what the next Worldcon, I mean, in 2 years. So you'd be voting on 2022 site, and you'd be voting on various bylaws they're changing, and then voting on the Hugos, of course. So there's more that comes with your membership than you think. Although I have heard that the business meeting is going to be happening at the same time as the Hugos, which is a little suspect, because people don't want to miss the Hugos even if they find the business meeting important. Also, the business meeting uses Robert's Rules of Order, which I never knew was a thing until I attended the business meeting and had no idea what was going on. There were these rules that everybody knew except for me, which was slightly frustrating. And, I mean, I even thought about, I'm just going to buy a whole bunch of, like, pamphlets with Robert's Rules of Order on it and hand it out at the beginning of the next business meeting so everybody will know what's going on. And then I find out that Robert's Rules of Order is rather large and extensive and an expensive book, or like a full-price book, not a book that you buy a case of and hand out unless you have, like, George Martin level of money. So it's frustrating how it almost feels like, on one hand, the Robert's Rules of Order allows them to make an agenda, and when you have, if you want to speak on something, everybody has to agree to it. Not everybody, but there are levels of agreement, and when you have your time to speak, it's very, very structured. And if you go over, then they'll shut you down. And it's... So I see how it makes the business meetings go without turning into chaos, but it also feels like they've erected a wall around, they've erected a wall that only people who know what's going on can actually participate in, even though you have the right to participate in it. That's not meeting rules. You need to be able to remember the freaking rules. Wait, what's not meeting rules? I'm not following. That's a mention in the chat about Robert's Rules of Order, I assume. But it is frustrating, and there's a lot of business stuff that you have to deal with. It's like I got the got an email about the SFWA bylaws or charter being edited, and we have to, if you remember, you get sent those edits, and I guess you object. And all the changes were really minuscule and the kind of things that's really important to lawyers, but not to most people. And while when I attended the business meeting at WorldCon, it was like, should we have a young adult Hugo or not? And people felt very strongly about this, and so there were a lot of new people coming into the business meeting and then not knowing what's going on. But when it comes to, like, the wording of this Hugo Award information, like, every word chosen for what describes a semi-prosing, that was debated. They had to debate and agree on every bit of phrasing when you read what's a semi-prosing for that's eligible, and how are things eligible for the Hugo or not. Oh, the fact that they're so long, there should only be a few. Yeah, it's it's complicated. And there are things I want to talk about, things that I want to talk about, like you're like the pre-meeting before the meeting, and then can we put this on the agenda tomorrow, and then we argue that, and it's ridiculous. So that happens, and, you know, if some people are going to decide whether to watch the Hugos or the business meeting, yeah, I think the Hugos are going to win that. It's been a little frustrating, also going back to the writing thing, because I also have to remember that I'm writing a book right now, and while I normally would take time off for the convention, I am home, and I do have my writing space, and I do have time where I'm not inspired to go hang out with people at the bar or scheduled for a panel or anything. So I know that I'll need to get the writing done. So I'm trying to look on the bright side in that tomorrow's my birthday and we were going to leave for New Zealand tomorrow. So I was going to spend my entire birthday on a plane. Was not looking forward to that. The con, I believe, was going to be more spread out than we anticipated, so there was going to be a lot more walking between the con hotels and the convention area. We're not looking forward to that. And this is all just trying to find the bright spots in the fact that there's a global pandemic and we had a trip planned to New Zealand, you know, and I'm nominated for a Hugo in a time where I can't actually enjoy most of the perks that you're guaranteed. I think I've complained about this early. This will be the first WorldCon I will have missed since 2009. So it's kind of sad. But next year it'll be in DC, and that's a happy thing, because we can take a train up and it's close enough to where we're not going to be in the dang airspace for 20-some hours. Or even on the road for 20-some hours. So, it being I should be writing, does anybody have any questions they want me to cover? I'm going to be looking in my email to see if there's anything outstanding. There are a couple, but if you have any questions you want to ask me right now, live, throw it at me. So, we got a question from Philip, who's given me permission to use his name. It's an issue I'm technically having with nonfiction, but the practice should be applicable from fiction. I recently got a very detailed, very critical critique from my editor. I realize this is already a good place to be, since I have an editor, but I'm struggling to find a way to get started addressing the issues raised by the critique without getting frustrated or angry about them. Do you have any advice on how to move past that into productivity? Yes, it's going to sound a little new agey, but I think in the world today we don't actually allow ourselves processing time for negative emotions. And what I mean is, you know, you're not supposed to get angry, and if you get angry you're supposed to get over it pretty quickly, and you're not supposed to be sad that you got rejected. You're supposed to just pick yourself back up and get to work. When really, we need to process these emotions and come out healthier on the next side, the other side. So what I mean is, read through the notes, get angry, or get depressed, or get whatever your initial thought is, feel that emotion, and then give yourself like a little bit of time. If it's an article or a short story, maybe give yourself 1 or 2 days. If it's something longer, you're going to need a little bit longer to process. But what happens is your body and mind go through that processing of emotions, and then you can get to a point where you can say, okay, I accept this is happening, and I will get to work and turn it in again. It's processing the emotion, which is, you are telling me that my work is not perfect starting out, and that's ridiculous, because of course it's perfect, because we all have that 6-year-old inside of us. Into knowing that, reminding yourself that this is a job, it's a business, and other people's opinions matter when you're doing this kind of thing. And you need to take those into consideration, and they might possibly make it better. They probably will. That's what editors are for. That's a key point, is just allow yourself time to feel the frustration, to feel the anger, and say it's okay to feel that way, and then you can get back to work. Question for I Should Be Writing. I'm a young wannabe writer. I'm a fan of your podcast. I was wondering where you would go to find beta and alpha readers. I'm using my writer friends, but they're really busy and turnaround time isn't great. There are a number of online critique groups that you can find. I've been suggesting these for years, and every once in a while I'm worried that they're going to like go under and I'm not going to know about it. But there's Critters, which I believe covers a number of genres. There's Online Writers Workshop, which I believe is only science fiction and fantasy. And there's probably a lot more now than there were back when I was looking for the same thing. So finding... also, the NaNoWriMo forums might be a good place to look, because I know that people are looking for crit partners in there. So go to the NaNoWriMo.org and sign into the forums and see if there's anybody looking for partners to switch manuscripts with. What else do we got? Got a couple of emails of thank yous, and I want to say I've gotten them and I really appreciate them. If I haven't answered you back or mentioned it on the podcast, don't think I haven't seen it. And it really, I will answer them. I'm behind on everything and trying not to get worried and frustrated about that. So we got, Brian says, one of the markets I'm submitting to said they have an average response time of 2 to 3 months and that authors may inquire after 4 months. I'm about 3.5 months into waiting for a response at this point. I understand everything is nuts. I want to be extra patient. Do you think it's a good idea to inquire about the process, or might that negatively reflect on my work in some way? I feel like I've answered this before. Now I'm having deja vu. Regardless, I don't know what kind of process you're asking about. Are you asking, like, where you are in the queue, or if you're being read, if you still have yet to be read by Slush, or your story's been good enough to land on the editor's desk? I'm not quite sure what you mean, but just inquiring about the status of it and making sure it's still under consideration, that's really all you need to ask. It's possible they tried to send you a response and you didn't get it. That's happened to us at Escape Pod, which makes me feel really guilty, because that means I have to reject a story twice, because I'll send a rejection and then a month later I'll get a, hey, is this story still under consideration? I'm like, no, I have to say it again. Crap. But really all you need to do is make sure they have it and make sure they're still considering it. Those are perfectly reasonable questions to ask. I've gotten behind on these again. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to do an entire feedback show, I think. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a separate feedback show just to catch up with everything. Appreciate the emails and questions. Do we have anything in the chat? I'm closing the wrong window. Nothing in the chat. Okay. So I guess if nobody's going to be asking any questions, it's your last chance. But thank you for staying with me during this entire first attempt at something new. I've been going for 500 episodes. I felt the need to change it up. This also means I need to get a better video setup and fix my audio a little bit and get a green screen. Brain blanked on questions. Well, I'm hoping to be able to do it again. So if you like it and you're patient with me, thank you. Thank you, guys. MightyMurr@gmail.com is how you get in touch with me. Twitch.tv/MightyMurr is how you see these live. And Patreon.com/MightyMurr is how you can see the stream, or rather how you can see the hour-long stream I'll do on Mondays and join the Discord and all that. But you guys are patient and wonderful, and I thank you so much. And remember, even though there's a pandemic and even though my video is crapping out and being awkward, you should still be writing.
Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/MightyMurr. I should be writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. I should